Yes.
And now on Radio 4, it's time for The Archers, where Brian is in for a bit of a shock from Siobhan.
Siobhan, keep your voice down, for goodness sake. How can you say that I'm heartless and callous? Look, I'm the one here thinking about what is best for the baby. I just know it'll have a lot better prospects in life if it's brought up by a family of wolves in the Alaskan wilderness. Look, I've got the papers here. You just need to sign here.
No, Brian. No. I've finally seen through you now. You just wanted me as a bit of fun and amusement to be tossed aside when I'm no longer convenient. Well, I don't have to listen to your lies anymore.
What do you mean?
I found another man. A decent man. With everything you're not, Brian. He's loyal, decent, and trustworthy.
Indeed I am. For Siobhan's new lover is me. Sven Goran goes like a combined harvester Ericsson. Now Ulrika has gone, I am now more determined to have it off with every hot mama in this country. Yes, I have been romping for some days now with this hot Irish bint here in Ambridge, a place that captures perfectly my notion of the dreary misery and the meaninglessness of existence. Indeed, my understanding of the dank horrors and depravities of humanity have, if anything, been heightened by staying with the Grundys at Keeper's Cottage.
You won't last here. You'll soon leave.
No, that is wrong. My time here has been profitable. I have already added Linda Snell to my final World Cup squad. To play in the troublesome left-sided midfield spot.
Hello there and welcome to Tarrant on TV, the show you thought I probably couldn't be asked to do anymore. Once more, we'll be looking at the wackiest TV programmes from around the world and proving that they really do things differently abroad. We start with this curiously doom-laden offering from our French cousins.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Michel Burke. Et bienvenue à Neuf Neuf Neuf. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir? Plus ce soir, plus tard. Vendredi étant un jour ordinaire pour Antoine de Caunes. Mais le jour termine dans la tragédie et la tombe dans un abandoned quarry. Quel pilloc.
Just about, the best-loved figure on German TV isn't actually German, even though he has a German name. Here's a clip from his popular and long-running show.
Hey, guten Tag. And willkommen zum Rolf's Animal Krankenhaus. Do you remember the Hunt Rover? Es ist, wie sie sagen in England, bad news. Er war so feeble, so mangy, so machen Dirk die Nacht. Also, ich bin painting it was. Kannst du tellen, was it is, Jets?
On 92, 295 FM, which represents real choice upon the FM band, and on 198 long wave, emphasising our place in the great traditions of radio broadcasting, you are listening to what I consider to be the people's radio station. Radio 4, suburban forehead, middle class teeth, home county's people carrier.
You're listening to Today with me, John Humphreys.
And me, Sue McGregor.
Nah, it's no good, Nocti. It's not the same when you say it. I mean, thanks for trying. Keep the skirt and the earrings, though. Is it? Oh, well, I suppose we've got to find another token bird. I mean, female presenter of the Today programme.
But we've got one, John. Sarah Montagu over there. She's been here nearly 3 years.
Really? What air? I thought she was just here to brew up. Oh, well. Right, then. So, do you think you've really got what it takes to replace Sue, then, eh?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm terribly enthusiastic about everything. I'm used to mucking in with the lads, and I'm a presenter on News 24.
Yeah, that's it. Just keep digging that hole for yourself. All right, then, Montagu, let's see what you're made of. Read this.
And that was the Saturday essay with Frederick Forsyth.
No, 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 no. far too enthusiastic. Anybody would think you were happy to be here.
So I just can't contain my natural girlish enthusiasm.
Just listen to how John does it.
Yeah, listen and learn. And that was the Saturday essay with Frederick Forsyth. Now, can you hear the mocking scepticism in my voice? The world-weary tone that says to the listeners, we know he's mad, you know he's mad, and that's why we've axed him. Try it again.
And that was the
Saturday... Oh, come on, he's just compared New Labour to Al-Qaeda and Tony Blair to a three-headed serpent.
That was the Saturday essay.
Let's see those inverted quotation marks. He's mad as a hatter.
Frederick Forsyth.
Yeah, that's better. Now put it all together.
And that was the Saturday essay with Frederick Forsyth.
By Jove, John, I think she's got it.
Oh, Rillo, that's so cool. I haven't had this much fun since we pushed Stephen Sack around the News 24 studio in a bath. It's going to be such fun here, I know it is.
Something tells me it's going to be a long morning before start the week.
So, Mr. Bond, we meet again. I trust you enjoyed your tour of my secret hideout.
Blofeld, you fiend. You can't hold me forever. I'll destroy this place in an orgy of violence involving hundreds of stuntmen whose names shall appear all too briefly in the end credits.
Well, I hope your mission to blow up my HQ is a success, 007.
What do you mean?
Do you know what this is? A fully comprehensive home and contents insurance policy. In just 24 hours, I will have received a cheque for the total value of this property at current market rates and be able to move to a small bungalow in Dorset whilst living off the interest on my remaining capital.
You're forgetting one thing, Blofeld. Your weapons of mass destruction will be lost in the blast.
Oh, I think not, 007. My policy offers replacement cover on laser guns. Also, nerve gas and missile warheads, all at minimal extra cost. And by lying on my claims form, I might even get a consignment of rocket launchers and a nicer hi-fi, too. So you can wreak your havoc in your own time, 007.
I won't do it, Blofeld.
In that case, Mr. Bond, we shall have to arrange for you to have a little accident.
What do you mean?
So you can make a claim for personal injury with the same company. You see, if I introduce a friend, I get a commission.
Welcome to Newsnight. I'm Kirsty Wark, the thinking man's Kirsty Young. Shock continues to sweep across Europe at the success of Jean-Marie Le Pen, with the result signalling a possible upsurge in right-wing extremism. This is a story where it's hard to see any positives, although the BBC's correspondent in Paris is bound to manage it.
Hello and welcome to Paris, with me, David Dickinson. An enthusiastic version of Chris Hagabusi. I'm so relentlessly cheerful that I can make even the most worthless tat seem palatable. And boy, have the people of France picked some worthless tat this week. Now, what have you got there?
It's the ballot paper on which I voted for Le Pen.
Interesting item. Now, the views here, dating from the 1920s, maybe 1930s, we don't know. But there's not been much interest in them of late, because there's a problem with these views. You see, they're cracked. But what's this here?
It is the French electoral system.
Well, I have to tell you, and you know what I'm going to say, viewers, it's a bit of a duffer. It's in terrible condition and doesn't perform the function for which it was intended. So, can I ask you, monsieur, what's gone wrong?
Bouf, je ne sais pas.
Well, there you go, you see. Voter apathy, that was the problem. As the old saying goes, Le Pen is mightier than the board. So, viewers, will this mean a resurgence of fascism on a geopolitically significant level? We don't know. I certainly don't. But either way, I'll be here keeping my eye out for worthless garbage and scum. Plenty of them in France at the moment. Oh, cheap as pommes frites.
Oh, yes. Wasn't that sublime?
Yes, you're listening to... You thought I was going to say Radio 3, didn't you? Well, no. No, you'd be wrong. No, I'm not on Radio 3 anymore. I've left there. You see, it was getting far too noisy. All that world music. World and music. Whoever thought of putting those two words together? No, it's probably the same people who put the words classic and FM together. Oh, no, we simply can't tolerate any of those people banging dustbin lids anymore, can we? Oh, no. You see, that's why I've come here. Somewhere far quieter. Yes, that's right. It's Digital Radio 6. You see, it used to be just you and me, didn't it? But now it's just me.
So, on 92 to 95 FM and 198 Longwave, this is Radio 4. Listeners on Longwave, you leave with nothing. Except an irrational fear of modern life.
Hello, this is Liz Barclay welcoming you to another edition of You and Yours. Later in the show, we'll be revealing the shocking hidden costs of funerals and asking why can't we just bury our loved ones ourselves in the back garden. But first, a warning for all celebrity chefs contemplating buying second-hand recipes instead of making their own. Nigella Lawson spoke to John Waite.
Well, yeah, I should have realised straight away that the bloke I bought it off was dodgy. He said the recipe had only ever been cooked by a little old lady on her way to church of a Sunday and promised me it'd be oozing with freshness and originality, so plump and ripe that you could almost taste the juices just sliding down the front of my blouse, slowly soaking into each of my firm, rounded breasts, each as pert and perfectly formed as a little...
Oh, perhaps if we could just concentrate on the dodgy recipe you were sold, Nigella.
Yeah, well, actually, the thing was a death trap. It could have killed my career. I put it on the stove and then I realised I'd been fobbed off with a cut-and-shunt job.
A cut-and-shunt recipe?
Yeah, that's right. It was the front end of Anthony Worrell Thompson's balsamic glazed duck breast with sepp lentils and the back end of Jamie Oliver's chocolate mousse with sesame snaps, crudely welded together.
Your viewers must have been appalled.
Well, luckily, John, no one noticed, as people only watch my show so they can spend half an hour staring at my jugs.
So, a stark warning there for any TV chefs contemplating buying a dodgy used recipe. But remember, as Nigella said, provided your breasts are large enough, you'll be okay. So Anthony Worrell Thompson can sleep pretty soundly in his bed.
Your dinner's ready, darling. Here you go. Grilled chicken breast, steamed broccoli and roasted red peppers. Oh, and this wrinkly old Swede. I hope you can restrain yourself from having sex with its sperm.
Thank you, Nancy. This looks nutritious.
So what have you been doing today, huh? Making love to the Swedish chef from the Muppets, perhaps?
No. Today I have devoted a heavy session to taut grip.
Oh, taut grip. So that's what you call it now, huh?
Nancy, I sense that you are, to an extent, cross.
Oh. Sven, I thought you weren't that kind of man. You're so calm and logical and unemotional.
In my professional life, yes, perhaps. But in my personal life, no. When it comes to the bedroom, I am a randy son of a bitch. I can't help it. Show me a bit of skirt and I'm up it like a rat up a drainpipe. While one part of my nature is coldly contemplating the tactical merits of the 433 system, the other part is interested in one thing alone. Punani.
I just cannot believe what you're saying.
How about I ring up Ulrika Kaka and ask her round? Then the two of you can engage in lesbian congress whilst I watch. before I pleasure you both separately, then simultaneously.
In your dreams?
No, in my sauna. For I am a raging nymphomaniac, and I will do anything to anything, including furniture and clothes.
Well, let me tell you, baby, you're not doing it with me, OK? I'm leaving.
I wonder if the Neville brothers are free.
Good afternoon, Kent Messenger, Vicky speaking. How may I help?
Oh, yes, hello. I wish to place an advertisement, please.
Can I take your company name, please?
TARDIS Travels.
Charlie's Travels?
No, TARDIS Travels.
Sorry, and whereabouts are you based?
Practically everywhere, my dear. I want to advertise for a full-time assistant.
OK, I need to know where your head office is based or where you're calling from so I can establish your point of contact.
Point 70379, Galactic Zero Centre, Gallifrey.
And whereabouts is that?
About...
Are you based in Maidstone or Medway?
I can be, yes. Yes, in fact, yes. I suppose in a funny way I am.
And can I take your name, please?
Yes, the Doctor.
OK, bear with me, please.
Thank you.
Hello, Sharon speaking.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you all right?
I'm fine.
You sound amused.
I am.
Yes, I need to advertise for a full-time assistant.
No trouble. Have you got an idea of what you wanted to say?
I have a list of requirements, if you could note them down.
Yeah, no trouble. Could you fax them over to me?
I could only transmit them through an interstitial vortex.
So, full-time assistant required.
Yes. Must be willing to travel great distances. Must be resistant to rhondium crystals.
You're having a laugh with me.
No, this is very important.
Must be. Go on, I've forgotten the rest.
Resistant to rhondium crystals. Created by the Cybermen to destroy living tissue. Very dangerous.
You are having a laugh, aren't you?
Certainly not. I'm serious about what I do, not necessarily the way I do it. Pressure-balanced physiology, preferred.
Yep.
No reptilians. And finally, have you ever, for instance, walked into a chest freezer and then found yourself on the threshold of another quantum burst?
Not really.
No, you wouldn't have done. Not in Maidstone.
You want to pay you there, do you? Under recruitment.
Yes. And finally, it must be willing... to wear nothing but my floppy hat and long scarf.
There you are, having a laugh.
What's your name, my dear?
Sharon.
Sharon. Oh, Sharon, will you travel with me?
No, definitely not.
Oh, please, I've grown rather attached to you during our conversation.
Really?
Travel with me and together.
No, you're all right. You can travel on your own.
On 92 to 95 FM... and 198 long wave. You're listening to Martin Jarvis. Well, officially, you're listening to Radio 4, but it all comes down to much the same thing.
Good morning and welcome to In Our Time with me, Melvin Bragg, the Cumbrian Liberace. This week's discovery of a portrait of Shakespeare's friend and patron, Henry Rosely, dressed in women's clothing and wearing a wig and makeup, has raised a familiar question about the bard. Were Shakespeare's plays and sonnets written by a man who was, secretly, Graham Norton? We spoke to Shakespeare himself.
Oh, Melvin! You big-haired, cream-faced loon! Now, of course, I'm not Graham Norton, no. I'm Little Willie Shakespeare. Literally, I'm afraid. Okay, everybody, stay standing. Stay standing if you've ever been told by the ghost of your father to kill your uncle, but couldn't quite bring yourself to do it.
So, the fevered speculation about Shakespeare's Nortonality has been dismissed as trivial gossip by many academics, such as Germaine Greer.
I think this sterile debate about whether Shakespeare was or wasn't Graham Norton only serves to distract people from the actual achievements of perhaps the 20th century's greatest artist. I mean, that bit in Othello where Desdemona fires ping-pong balls out of her...
Yes, thank you, Germaine. But for the final word on this affair, I spoke for the first time to the subject of the portrait, the Earl of Southampton himself, to ask him if he is a transvestite.
Not at all, Melvin, my darling. I'm as butch, as Brutus, and manly as Macbeth, you know. Me and the gorgeous Will Shakespeare, just good pals. Although he can compare me to a summer's day any time he likes.
Starting in a few minutes over on ITV Digital, there's a chance to see the bailiffs removing the furniture. From the station manager's office, while here on ITV One, it's a new series of After They Were Famous.
Hello, I'm Matthew Kelly, and tonight on After They Were Famous, we discover just what happened to one of 2001's biggest names who seemed to disappear overnight. Yes, it's Osama bin Laden.
Yes, Matthew. 2001 was an incredible year for me. You work all your life to achieve that sort of fame, and then all of a sudden, pow! I was the most famous person on the planet wearing balloon pants since MC Hammer.
Osama was so huge in 2001, he even found himself with a pair of stalkers. We spoke to one.
Yeah, that's right, me and my friend Tony were brutally obsessificated with Osama. We used to hang around his cave day and night, but we never did get a glimpsification of him.
Soon Osama was getting bombed every night in the Met Bar.
Ah, I remember waking up one night after an evening on the tiles with Jimmy Thixton. And then opening the sun to see everyone had forgotten me. Saddam Hussein was the turret now on everyone's lips.
Well, you know, can you blame us? Saddam is just so dreamy. He's like every evil tyrant you've ever dreamed of in one scrum-diddly-uptious package. Excited forehead, ecstatic teeth, disturbingly moist underpants. I would personally inspect his weapons dump any day of the week.
Good afternoon, the Loan Company. Margaret speaking. How can I help you?
Hello, my name is Obi-Wan. I need to inquire about a loan, please, my dear.
Certainly. Can I take your phone number, please?
I do not have one.
You don't have one. OK, what's your surname, please?
Kenobi.
How are you spelling that? K-E-N?
O-B-I.
O-E-I. And what's your first name, please?
Obi-Wan.
Sorry?
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan. What's your house number?
It doesn't have a number.
Does it have a name?
Well, it's known as Obi's Hut by the Sand People.
Oh, right. Okay. So you need help, do you?
Well, if you could, my dear, that would be very good.
Okay. You're not looking for finance at all?
Oh, yes. Yes.
How much are you looking to borrow?
15,000.
15,000?
Yes.
And what's your house number or name?
Well, it's called Obi's Hut, but it's far in the mountains. I've not been there for quite some time.
No. I'm afraid we wouldn't be able to help then, I'm afraid.
But it's a matter of paramount importance. I have told Mr. Solo that I will give him £15,000 for his ship.
Right, I think you need to see a doctor. Bye.
Just by looking at these audience profile statistics, I can tell that you're a man. You're middle-aged, live in the home counties, and your hobbies include country walks, making models of famous bridges out of matchsticks, and complaining. On 92 to 95 FM and 198 Longwave, you're listening to Radio 4. I'm Amanda Burton. I know these things.
Hello, I'm John Motson. Have you got a complete set of Panini sticker albums? I have. Well, I'm joined now by some of the country's top managers. Guys, it's been a very exciting premiership this season. It looks like Arsenal are going to win, but who's going down, Sven or Ulrika? Bobby Robson. Bobby, if I can start with you, are you jealous of Sven?
Well, Gary, Bobby, Terry... sorry, what's your name, son?
It's John.
Sorry, right, what was the question?
Are you jealous of Sven?
Not really, no. The thing is, I'm 110 years old and it'd kill me. It's bad enough for the heart, you know, just being a football manager. And if you had sex with a Swedish sex bomb into the equation, you're heading for a major coronary. I'd say, sorry, Teddy, what was the question?
Right. Kevin Keegan, what would be your tactics in a relationship with Ulrika?
I'd walk out.
Why?
Well, that's what I do, and... You know, I walked out of Newcastle and I walked out of Fulham and I walked out of England and I was going to see a psychiatrist about my inability to commit to things, but I decided against it. I'm sorry.
Kevin, where are you going?
It's the constant questioning. I can't take the pressure.
And what about you, Sir Alex? Do you think Sven has handled it well?
Yes.
He's been very tight-lipped in public, hasn't he?
Yes.
Of course, he might be less tight-lipped in private. We don't know. Do you think he should have said more?
No.
He's not been too monosyllabic for you?
No.
Right. What would you do if I asked you a question that you couldn't say yes or no to? I see. Well, there you have it. Hello, this is the 10 o'clock news with me, Michael Burke. I can fly higher than an eagle, because you are the wind beneath my wings. More on that story later. But first, as concern spreads throughout France over the electoral success by the National Front candidate Jean-Marie Le Pen, the national political parties there have announced they're forming a rainbow coalition.
That's right, we're going to have a great time smashing the right wing. We're going to make sure that Le Pen is humiliated in the second round, aren't we, Zippy?
Too right. Nobody tries to have even more of an annoying loudmouth know-it-all who drives people crazy than me. And gets away with it.
So, in the event of victory, who's going to be president?
Oh, I'm certain it'll be Jeffrey. He's clever and nice.
Jeffrey? That loser? He's running a minicab firm in Brixton. He couldn't even sort out Bungle, let alone the French. I'll be president, cos I'm best.
Oh, no, you won't.
Oh, yes, I will. And you're going to be the first up against the wall with Rod, Jane and Freddy when I'm in charge. I can promise you that.
Oh, bugger this. I'm off to join the fascists.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Colshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry and Kevin Connolly. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neff Fountain. Lawrence Howarth, John Colshaw, Colin Birch, Ashley Blaker and Tony Roach. The producer is Mario Stylianides. It was devised by Bill Dare.